Yesterday we celebrated the International Refugees Days, where we recognized the experiences and challenges that have been facing by the refugees across the globe, and especially in South Sudan, where South Sudan is hosting more than 400,000 refugees, mostly from Sudan, DRC, and the rest of the country, including Eritrea. The European Union has been a major partner in supporting refugees and internally displaced persons in South Sudan. The International Organization for Migration, IOM, also has been working closely with the government of South Sudan, humanitarian partners, and local communities to provide the life-saving assistance to those affected by the conflict and displacements. As the world marked the World Refugees Day yesterday, the 20th of June 2024, we will be discussing this morning the significance of these days and the durable solution regarding to issues. And we also join now this morning with in the studio, Mrai Breakfast Show, with the AU Program Manager in South Sudan, Deborah Connelly. Good morning, Deborah. I hope that I pronounced your name well.
Good morning, Abram. Thank you. Yes.
Yes, and also my second guest is Kaki Abdenebi, Program Manager at IOM. You're welcome and good morning.
Good morning, Abram.
Yes. If we are starting this, can you tell us what makes this day very special, the significance of these days in contact of South Sudan?
Yes. Yes. Thank you. First of all, let me thank Radio Miraya for hosting us. And this is the last episode of a series of radio shows that were hosted for World Refugee Day, and also part of a bigger program of events that also saw the presence of the UN High Commissioner for Refugees. So I think that also shows how this day is important for South Sudan. And the World Refugee Day, which, as you mentioned, was celebrated yesterday, the 20th of June, gives us a chance to highlight and honor the resilience and the strength of refugees and all people forced to flee their homes. In South Sudan, the displacement situation is quite complex. As you mentioned, there are many refugees. In South Sudan, there are many South Sudanese refugees hosted mostly in neighboring countries like Uganda, Kenya, and Ethiopia. There are also many IDPs, internally displaced persons, and the war in Sudan is putting further strain on this. And so far, slightly more than 1 year since the war started, already 700,000 people crossed the border from Sudan to South Sudan. They are returnees and refugees, so they are also not only Sudanese people, but also South Sudanese who come back and try to rebuild their life here. And this 700,000 is a quite significant number for a country of around 12 million people. South Sudan is maintaining an open door policy, which is a very commendable choice, and the EU through its partners, notably UNHCR and IOM, as well as other development partners, are here to support and to really help improve the lives of displaced persons as well as their host communities.
Yes, talking of durable solutions, in context of South Sudan, what does that mean? Because looking for durable solutions for refugees and returnees, as well as you mentioned, Deborah, what does that mean?
So maybe I will jump for this question. For like the definition normally, like for when we speak about durable solutions, go for like either integration, resettlement, or returns. When we speak about the current situation in South Sudan, we have like talking about a bit of complex situations as well. We do have thousands of people they are displaced in the country, which is like they need special attention, like support as well. Either for which is in this case will be eligible if, either for integration or return to their area of origin. Well, for refugees, it's a bit of a different definition, because most of them, they are fleeing and they are seeking safe space or safe environment where they can seek shelter or safety away from the crisis happening at home, which is normally will be is a return to their homeland or resettlement or local integration. The current situation in South Sudan, like I will, as we are all aware, it's a bit tough, hard, like for both the either the IDPs or refugees. The economic situation is making it even more difficult, especially with the current situation in the country. Like refugees or even IDP have to make a tough choice of how you will survive and how you will even integrate in the country. So far, most of, at least compared to the other countries, like most of the refugees in the country, like here, they are trying to integrate and engage with the like stay in the like maintain themselves in the country through identifying different livelihood opportunities. And also thanks for donors like such EU and other donors and their generous support, and how like to address a lot of issues to support like the integration or even support the communities, the host community in the country. I would like to give a special thanks to the EU, because like I do remember like the moment the crisis of Sudan happened and all the refugees and returnees jumped, started coming back. One of the first response we received or support we received was from the EU, like seeking like to support all the return, like the returnees and refugees coming and finding a way to support the economy as well of South Sudan.
Yes, and Deborah, as you mentioned earlier, that the South Sudan has already opened hands to welcome everybody. I mean, especially refugees that is coming from neighboring countries, including Sudan. How do you, EU, together with IOM, how do you make this durable solutions for refugees to settle?
Yes, so from the European Union, we work with a number of partners. UNHCR and IOM are very much at the forefront. And what we try to do to improve, the lives of refugees, returnees, but also host communities, it's also very important to be very inclusive and to factor in host communities at the center of our programs. And what we do is combine, through various programs, humanitarian aid. So this is really life-saving support, which is essential in the first phase when people arrive, with development funding, which is a longer-term oriented type of interventions, and peace-building, social cohesion interventions. So this really tries to integrate different approaches and, let's say, different interventions to go a bit over the short-term and really provide more sustainable and, again, durable patterns for displaced persons. This includes providing a variety of basic services to displaced persons and to their host communities at the same time, providing livelihood opportunities or income-generating activities, which again tend to go beyond the short term. Also build government capacity on a number of areas, including documentation, registration, and provision of services. And at the same time, held community dialogues, peace dialogues, so to ensure that there is social cohesion and peaceful coexistence. And of course, the needs and the situations of displaced persons are very specific and very unique. So considerations of gender, but also of age, of health status, of composition of the household are always taken very much into account. And human rights is another area we mainstream in all our programs. And another one is also responsiveness to climate change. So, for instance, the livelihood activities tend to be climate smart. So there is a consideration of also these global issues. And this is very much in line with the EU's development framework on forced displacement, which combines humanitarian aid and development. And we have this communication that is a bit our guiding framework that is called Lives in Dignity, from Aid Dependence to Self-Reliance. So it really gives the idea, it really puts at the center the idea of building resilience of community. So it's also an approach that looks at a community as a whole and really tries to make communities stronger and enable them to welcome and to integrate displaced persons.
Yes, so have there not been the same things that both of you will be answering this? Sometimes when you're working with this such situation where people are fleeing war with nothing in their hands, looking for a new life, getting things very, it's not an easy task. What are some challenges that you're facing in addressing these refugees' problems?
I don't want to say like at least just we addressing, because like we are like here just mostly supporting the community, or like people fleeing, which is, they are the one actually facing the challenge, most of the challenges, especially with the current situation of the economic of the economy in South Sudan. They are facing massive challenges related for access to services. Livelihood remain another obstacle for most of them. Movement around the country, and when I say movement around the country, because of the road and the situation and how they can get move from one location to another location, which has become a very difficult situation as well. For us, it was like we try to support, which is for us is a challenge as well, especially when we are trying to move assistance or support this, the refugees or the host community. Currently, we are supporting, we are doing our best or through support for the donors to provide transportation or at least to make it easier for refugees or people fleeing the war to move around or moving them from one location to another location. As Deborah mentioned, we provide humanitarian assistance and all this, but still, moving around, delivering the service is very difficult and very challenging in the country here.
Yeah, Deborah, can you share also the same, because you're one of the main partners supporting refugees, as Gaki has already mentioned. Do you have certain challenges that hinder you to support or to deliver support to the refugees in terms of using the support by IOM and the other partners?
Yeah, thank you. I think the situation itself is quite complex. There are different aspects of this crisis and different contextual factors who can make it more complicated. For example, I'm thinking about instances of local conflict or also extreme weather or climate events who can really make it more difficult, technically more risky and more expensive to reach people in need. So these are, I would say, when our partners implement on the ground, these are factors that we tend to factor in, but that can make the response more complex. Of course, the needs are very significant. These are people who basically left everything behind. So their needs are quite broad, and we are really trying to provide a comprehensive package of services, of income-generating activities, of social cohesion. But we also realize that the needs are very significant, and there is still a lot that needs to be done.
In terms of this getting the international support, international community, what do you think that the work could be done by international community in lines of supporting reintegrations, resettlement, and all this process?
Yeah, I think a very promising approach that we see in action here in South Sudan is area-based programs and, in general, area-based approaches. So this is a way of programming that really puts communities at the center and local authorities at the center, and tries to somehow go beyond a strict distinction among sectors and really provide integrated programs based on the need of the specific area or the specific community. And this is also an operationalization of what we call HDP Nexus or Triple Nexus, so that it's the combination of humanitarian support, development support, and peace building. So this seems to be a promising approach that can really respond to the specific need of areas, and again putting community at the center and building on and working under the leadership of local authorities. So I think this is a quite promising approach. We are seeing it quite a lot in Upper Nile and in Malakal, and yeah, that's something we are supporting through our partners, and we believe it's a good approach.
We hope for the best. Yeah, Gaki, we're coming to the host community, sometimes it could be quite challenging. Sharing the resources a little bit, the small resources that's happening. How do you maintain this? Sometimes they can get into misunderstanding. So how do you maintain the host community, the welcoming refugees, and sharing these small resources?
Exactly, like we mentioned earlier, the needs in South Sudan in general it's very high, especially in these remote areas where most refugees are hosted. We do through our operation or programming, we do engage with the host community. When we do targeting for support, we do usually equally for all the community, for most vulnerable, most people need. Even the programming mostly targeted for refugees, but we still include host community, and we include IDBs as well if there's an IDBs from other locations. They are based in this area. So we try as much as we can to make it inclusive as well, discuss with the community that they are the one become supporting, especially if there's a will of refugees or IDBs to reintegrate within the community, he will need to be accepted. So as much as we can, we are trying to make sure that it's built in a coherence or in a matter of acceptance.
Yes, EU program manager Deborah, thank you for coming to Murai Breakfast this morning.
Thank you very much.
Gaki Abdonami, thank you also for coming.
Shukran.